Two Resistant Podcast. Let's talk some history. Today, we are going to step back in time again. I love history, so whenever possible, I am going to start giving these stories their own episode. Sometimes it'll go with something going on at the time, sometimes it won't. Whatever I feel like doing. Because after all, it's my show. Send your love, send your hate, send whatever's on your mind to the_NRP@yahoo.com, the_NRPodcast on Facebook, and don't forget to hit like and follow while you're there. This show is released using Anchor. It is the spot to make podcasts. It has the tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or your computer. Your episodes can be distributed to Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts, and so many more, all at once. Anchor has everything you need in one place, and it is free. So stop everything you're doing and go download Anchor in your App Store or at anchor.fm. What would it take for you to give your kids poison? Now, before you decide that I need to be turned in, I'm going somewhere with this. And it's not freaking nuts. I surpassed that decades ago. Let's talk about cults. Everybody's been fascinated by one at some point in their lives. Don't even lie. You know you have. Oh, come on now. You know you have. I remember one particular group of, what do they call themselves? Anyways. They killed themselves so they could catch a ride on this comet that was passing by. Weirdos. Then there's Scientology and the FLDS with that sick pedophile of a leader, Warren Jeffs, who was diddling with 12 to 13 year olds, marrying little girls as well, and is now spending the rest of his life in prison, where he belongs. Most likely, you have never wanted to join one, or, I don't know, maybe you did join one and left. There's just something fascinating about cults. Maybe it's because they're so odd and over-the-top strict. They pretty much always have a few things in common. They have a weird name. Then there's the head case of a leader. And they always have a really, really screwy idea of how and why the world's gonna end. You guys ever notice that? So weird. We always make a mistake, though, regarding the people who join these cults. You and I both do. And that is, we think of them as idiots, nutbags, out of their minds. And all of that may actually be true. But here's why we do it with cults. Well, for the same reason we do it with monsters throughout history. You can pick any number of monsters. The most glaring example are the Nazis. We like to make them out to be inhuman, devils, monsters. Truth is, they're human beings. Perhaps with a twisted upbringing, possibly even a normal upbringing. Not every SS guard who marched the Jews into the gas chambers had a violent, abusive childhood. A lot of them had good upbringings. We like to imagine those who've done terrible, unspeakable things as being something other than human. We do this because, and you and I both have said it numerous times, I could never do that. I'm not capable of such things. Oh, sure, that piece of crap could, but never me. Be careful about thinking that. As I said, I find cults fascinating. I find what motivates people to join and form them really interesting. Now, it's not like an everyday thing, but when there is one in the news, this is just how my brain works. I will not only read everything I can on that one, but I will often end up going down rabbit holes on other cults as well. Anyways, with almost all of them, what motivates people to join cults? It doesn't start with Joey Bag of Donuts coming out of the gas station and walking through the park and seeing a group of people chanting around a small fire. Hey, I'm going to go check this out. I'm digging what they're doing. This cult sounds fun. It actually starts out more like you're sitting off by yourself at a party, at a bar, at school. Somebody comes up, hey brother, let me buy you a beer. If you've ever been a drinker, you know nobody turns down a free beer. Hey, you're in my math class, right? Mind if I sit with you? Looks like this lunch table is empty. Then it turns into, hey, we're having a party at my friend's house. You should come over. There's going to be some cool chicks there. Hey, some of us are meeting up at my friend's house after school and going swimming in his parents' pool. And most of the time, before you know it, you've been pulled into a cult. Okay, so that's kind of a setup for the setup to today's story. So, if you are of, I'd say maybe my parents, but definitely my grandparents' generation, you will for sure remember the 60s and 70s were huge for cults here in the U.S. Huge. The Manson family was a big one as well. There were a bunch. But why, though? Well, one, it was a time where drug use expanded enormously, especially drugs like LSD, shrooms, drugs that, like, open your mind, man. And I can tell you from experience, not hallucinogens, but other harder drugs, it makes the mind pliable. There's a reason why intelligence agencies and secret police drug prisoners and terrorists and people they want information out of. Human trafficking, rape victims are often drugged. Just ask Bill Cosby about that. And maybe Harvey Weinstein. The point is, drugs make you easier to be swayed. That practice got huge in the 60s. There were also major societal changes at that time. There was the turmoil around the Vietnam War. People really started to question things. There was a huge cultural push away from church, from religion, from faith. that was a big part of it as well. Not to be preachy, that's not what this episode is really about, but you need a religion, you need faith. Nations need religion and faith. Whether you're the Aztecs cutting people's hearts out, Saudi Arabia and most Middle Eastern countries with Islam, Israel with Judaism, or the U.S. with Christianity, whichever it is, there has to be some kind of moral mooring. When that is lost, people go searching for other ones. That is why cults became so huge in the 60s. Now, let's discuss a man, a very strange man, by the name of Jim Jones. He was born during the Great Depression. Rough upbringing doesn't begin to explain it. He, at one point, was living with his mom in a shanty. No plumbing, no electricity. They often lacked adequate food, so they would sometimes go foraging in a nearby forest or in fields. His mother had no maternal instincts. He was neglected and left alone a lot. There's always been this argument about whether people, especially bad and evil ones, are born that way or are made to be that way. Even with my big old brain, I'm not qualified to really speak on that. However, I will say that this Jim Jones fella was seen as very weird, really into death. You're fixing to find out how into it this cat was. He was obsessed with reading the Bible. And there's not a thing wrong with that. I'm definitely not saying that. I'd encourage more people to dive into the Bible. But he took it to a, we'll call it a dark place. Dude would kill animals so that he could perform Christian funeral services for them and bury them in the backyard. Like I said, he, yeah, really, really weird. Not really your ideal neighbor. Honey, are you seeing the neighbor boy, Jim? Is that your cat? It was like that. Jim Jones is also a good student. As he's going through his teens and his 20s, he begins to hear word about this thing. You may or may not have heard about it a few times on this show. It's this thing called communism, and Jim Jones is becoming a big fan of it. He became a prolific reader of Hitler, Stalin, Mao, Marx. We'll hear more about that in a second. Hang on.
Now you see, the unknown God, that's the kind of results you get from him. Die like flies. Just die like flies. Prophesied to a couple of people the other day. Don't do this. Don't do this, or you're going to get in trouble. And as sure as the world, they did it anyway. Said, don't you do it. Prophesied the accident, and they did. And the car all tore up, and nothing went wrong with them. I give them another chance. The unknown God don't give you no chances. You don't even know what's happened to you when you worship the unknown God. You're in trouble all the time because you can't figure out nothing. We'll liberate you. The truth will free you. The truth will set you free. Won't make any homages to the unknown God anymore. Won't have to make any offerings to the unknown God. You won't have to walk down the street with your head down, afraid somebody's going to knock you over with a bolt of lightning, because I'm going to free you from superstitions. I'm going to free you from all those fears. I'm going to cause you to know that you are what Jesus was. said, "What good work do you stone me?" Jesus said, "We don't stone you because of good works, Jesus. It's because you, being a man, make yourself God." He said, "Well, isn't it written, to those whom the word of God came, scripture can't be broken?" He said, "It's written that ye are gods." He said, "I'm just doing what you have had written. It's in the book. Don't look at me funny. Jesus said that every human being was a god." I'll give you the verse of scripture if you want me to give you the verse of scripture. I can give you the verse and scripture to the line that you are God. I'm a god and you're a god. And I'm a god and I'm going to stay a god until you recognize that you're God. And when you recognize you're God, I shall go back into principle and will not appear as a personality. But until I see all of you knowing who you are, I'm going to be very much what I am. God Almighty God.
And we're back. And we're talking history and only history today, because that's what I want to do. Okay, back to the story. So, Jim Jones, odd, doesn't really cut it. Kills animals just so he can perform Christian funeral services for them. Goes from what witnesses say an apparent devout Christian young man to falling in love with communism. He, of course, is learning this at school and begins to grow really angry with the U.S. for being anti-communist. So he decides he is going to start making sure communism is something that is pushed from the pulpit, that he is going to infiltrate the church with it. You see, Jim Jones was a hustler at heart. What I mean by hustler is this. He would go door to door selling monkeys. Yes, monkeys. The dude was a door to door salesman selling monkeys. Now, as you know, I have this huge brain. I don't know if any of you know this by now, but it is a bit of a weird brain as well. I know that's shocking to many of you, but I want to hear the sales pitch, the monkey pitch. I want to know how much these monkeys were. Anyways, because he was a natural hustler, he began to get into faith healing. I imagine pretty much all of you have seen the faith healing stuff on TV. These pastors that get up there and are like, "Praise Jesus!" And then hits him in the head. They go limp in their wheelchair or fall over and wake up, and pastor says, "I tell you, stand up and walk!" And the person jumps up and starts dancing a jig. He begins making some money off of it. Jim Jones. So, Jones tries faith healing. And see what happens when you start getting up and speaking in front of people and you're really good at it and start getting some fame from it? You start believing your own press. As big of a weirdo as he was, Jim Jones was also insanely charismatic. He was a good-looking dude, and the ladies love him. So his ego starts inflating. And what do people who find themselves in these kind of situations do? They start running people out of their lives who bring them down. Friends, loved ones, acquaintances, doesn't matter. They start creating their own bubble. Jim Jones starts creating his own bubble. See, he's now only surrounded by fans and yes men. and it's about to get bad. Hold on.
The first healings were the cancers. Jim called a woman out and said, you know, asked her, was she feeling a certain way?
Dorothy Lewis, who's that? Now, on your breast, there are tender spots. Notice this tenderness?
Yes.
Follow my hand down to the breast. I command cancer to be removed. I command it.
She had to go with the nurse, and usually Marceline, to the restroom when she was going to get rid of this cancer.
When she gets to the bathroom, she'll bring it back. That tumor shall be brought back. Oh, God, never be.
So it took a while, and all of a sudden, they come down the aisle.
Here she comes.
They're carrying this white napkin, and it's horrible smelling, right? It smells rotten.
Just look at that growth, that bloody mess.
The growth is passing me now in a large mass of paper towels.
Now press it again. You'll find no tenderness or soreness this time.
No.
It's all gone. You've been protected. Bless you.
I'm excited. The whole church is just in a frenzy.
I believed absolutely everything that I saw.
We had this belief that Jim had godlike powers.
I've always thought I should have known something was up. It wasn't until I was maybe 16, 17 years old, I started putting things together. Why they always went to the bathroom to spit up the cancer. That was a suspicious piece. He had a person named Rose. It was only Rose that would produce these growths or tumors. She'd always give me a bag of fried chicken. So all my friends loved me. And I used to always wonder, why did she cook so much chicken? And I'm not saying I was scientific, but not all cancers look like chicken gizzards. Oh, chicken gizzards. So then that's when I put it together.
All right, here we go. Jim Jones, seeing a lot of success, is becoming known on a national scale. To understand how, remember, this is the 60s. This is a point in time where, as you know, things were not good. He and his wife start adopting black kids and Asian kids. He's speaking out against racism. The American communists were intent on getting in on the civil rights movement and taking advantage of it to further their cause. They will use anything, any movement, to further their cause. Jim Jones is doing this very thing. He's building shelters for addicts and for the elderly. And so he begins to draw attention from the media. Famous politicians like Harvey Milk are saying how great this Jim Jones is. Nowadays, we think of Jim Jones as this evil cult guy who was responsible for a bunch of deaths in BFE, Guyana. Back then, he was a well-known national dude. His congregation, the People's Temple, was growing rapidly. It became huge. Thousands huge. And understand, people are always coming and always going. It was small, but there was a percentage of people there who are looking at themselves and saying, something doesn't feel right here anymore. I think it's time we walk away from this. Because you see, his delusions, they're getting really, really, really bad. Jones is extremely twisted by now. Remember I said he was a bit of a Christian growing up, and then fell in love with communism, then decided he was going to infiltrate the church. He has started telling people he's been resurrected and has begun preaching straight communism, even preaching against the Bible. Tell me if you've heard any of this before. He's saying the Bible is racist and sexist. He says America is racist and sexist. Does any of this sound familiar? Remember, none of this communist propaganda is new. His followers are eating it up. People are obsessed with him. Crazy obsessed. They are joining people's temple and giving everything to Jim Jones. Houses are to be sold and every penny is given over. They're giving every last drop of their savings to him. It's all part of joining people's temple. Huge amounts of money. Oh, and their children. They're giving away their children. Yes, people are giving up their own freaking children to this evil freak. Remember, though, at the time, he wasn't thought of as evil. Like all communists, Jim Jones believed your kids should be raised by the collective or by the community, not by their parents. Now, where have we heard that before? So, you're signing to join People's Temple. You're getting a real sense of belonging here. You're obsessed with this man. Remember how I mentioned that Jim Jones was very charismatic and handsome? And how people were obsessed with him? Well, amongst those thousands of People's Temple members, he was getting a lot of extra attention from the females. That extra attention was producing extra kids from women other than his wife. I tell you about this because it's important to the story. A lot of the people who were bailing on People's Temple were the women and the mothers of these extra children. Of course, the kids had to stay. They were feeling ostracized. The American media starts to get wind of this, and they start to turn on Jim Jones. The more people leave, the worse stories they hear. Things like people being beaten, they stepped out of line. Jones at this point is surrounded by armed guards. I should also mention that he was also doing a lot of drugs as well. Amphetamine pills, methamphetamine, morphine, oxycodone, Quaaludes, Valium, cocaine. It's not too long after the media turns on him that Jim Jones gathers up all of the money that he extorted and bullied out of his followers, along with about 1,000 followers, and moves down to the jungle of Guyana, out in BSE. He builds himself a little commie paradise, a compound consisting of a bunch of crappy shacks and a pavilion, where people are being told that they'll be safe there. I'm going to wrap this story up when we come back. Hold tight.
For black skin to work for half the pay in this state of California, to pay twice the rent, to be cheated every time they move, to walk in a department store and have everybody waited on before you get waited on. No, that's not love. Whoever made you did not love you. I did not make you, but by damn, I will save you! Now you get that in your little smoke pipe. You get it in your cut and you chew it. Savior I am. A redeemer I am. A deliverer I am. A father I am. I can save you when you're in jail, just like I brought that man out of the jail just a few moments. And I can promise, I can make prophecies and keep them. Just like I prophesied life to her son and he lived. Just like I promised doctor here, Reverend at 92, that he would not go back to jail, and I paid my money and got him out. Just like when his leg was broke the same day, I healed it. He didn't have to have a splint. He didn't have to have a cast. I healed it before they had the time to set it. I came to him and healed it. Oh, yes, I can heal you. Oh, yes, I can raise you from the dead. Oh, yes, I can open your blinded eyes. Oh, yes, I can get you out of prison. Oh, yes, I'll give you a home. Oh, yes, I'll take you in when you're lonely. Oh, yes, I'll make a heaven out of your hell. But I'm in a war against your buzzard god. I'm at war with your buzzard god. I've come here to defeat your buzzard god. No preacher in America that loves you so much that when we need money so badly to prepare for our exodus, because we'll have to leave just as sure as the children did under Moses from Egypt. We'll have to find ourselves places hewn out in the mountains, and we need supplies. We need all kinds of supplies, even getting distilled water. We have to take care of every provision, sanitary equipment, all kinds of medical supplies. We need it, but there's not a preacher in the world that would have stopped short in his offering. He's too conscious of paying for his Cadillac. There's not a preacher in the world that would have stopped his offering and said, my folks, I love you. I want to tell you the truth. I want to give you the truth.
All right, we are back. This is the New Resistance Podcast. We're talking only history today. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to hit subscribe so you can be notified when new content is posted. And while you're there, leave a star rating and a review. Okay, let's finish this story up here. Jim Jones and his core group of followers are now down in Guyana, in South America. Now, say you're a member of this cult. You've up and moved to Guyana. You get down there and things start to get real weird. At what point does it hit you that, ah, crap, I'm in way too deep here? You just have to know that it has already started to occur to some people that they're too deep, and that there's no way out. After all, you've given every penny you had to this piece of crap. And your kids are effectively no longer yours. They've been given over to, or are being raised, by the community. Jim Jones doesn't have to pretend to be nice anymore. He's taken their passports away from them. The beatings are pretty regular now. Slave labor is also being utilized. There are swarms of disease-carrying mosquitoes. They're in South America, remember, the South American jungle. The food situation is also not good. There are days where they eat rice for all three meals. Oh, did I say they? We're eating rice. By they, I meant the people. The peasants were eating rice. As with all communist countries and groups, Jim Jones and his top people were eating steak and all the best stuff, while everyone else was stuck with rice and the measly crops they'd grown. Armed guards are patrolling the perimeter. Jones is paranoid people are going to escape. They've been told the guards are patrolling because of an imminent attack from mercenaries sent to kill them. They're really to keep the people inside. They would do regular drills at night where they do fake sniper attacks on Jim Jones. So the people of Jonestown would actually believe there were mercenaries out there in the jungle. It was actually just a fake sniper he'd sent out taking bad pot shots at him. Whoa! See, we told you there were snipers out there. All to keep people scared. And it's working. He has also started waking people up in the middle of the night and handing them what he says is a cup of poison. It wasn't yet. If they hesitated before drinking it, he considered them disloyal. If they did drink it, after 45 minutes, they were told it was just a loyalty test. Now, back in the U.S., people, mostly all the women who'd had kids with Jones and then left People's Temple, they began to pressure the U.S. government. Look, this psycho took off to South America with our kids. You have no idea how bad this cult is. This guy is a gosh dang lunatic. You have to do something. Now, eventually, California Congressman Leo Ryan, to his credit, flies out to Jonestown with a group of journalists and some former cult members. Jim Jones knows they're coming. He meets them at the airport, says, "Welcome, Congressman. Come on in. Come on in. The former members aren't welcome, but you and your journalists are more than welcome to come in." They even hold a reception for them. One of the cult members slips one of the journalists a note saying, "I want out. I know other people who want out. We are scared. Please take us with you." Ryan gathers them up and says, "We're leaving." One of the cult members then stabs the congressman. Jim Jones steps in. "Whoa, whoa, hey, calm down. Congressman, if you'd like to leave, by all means, please. You can take these others with you. You are more than welcome to." So they take off for the airport, only they weren't completely aware of what they were dealing with. Okay, I'll be back in a few, and then we'll finish this cultish history story. Hang tight.
Let's make this little comparison. The Sky God. A great Christian Baptist home on Thursday in Atlanta, Georgia. 27 people burned alive. Poor old people hanging out on the outside of windows trying to hold on, and they cried to God. I heard their scream. Those Baptists crying to the Sky God. They wouldn't have done that, but I care about you. I wouldn't have, even though I know I've got the power to keep that building, if there wasn't a rafter in it, I could hold it up and suspend it air. Say, you're a cocky fool. I'm not cocky. I'm just practical. I know what I've done because I got proof of it. There's a man sitting on the front row up there. There's a man up there, Brother Touche. He's got a children's home right there on the front row of the balcony. A greyhound bus fell on him, and I told the people where he was, and I held that Greyhound bus. I mean, it fell off its jack on his body, but not one harm came to him because I said it would not be, and it was not. Some of you, you imagine the sky god comes in and talks to you and breathes on you and you never see it, and all it is just a cold fall breeze or a hot spring air, and you make up something, you know. They won't do that. I've run in with fire in my hands, been singed up and down my body. I took a baby out of a house that burned down right in Ukiah, took the baby and the dog right out of the house. I didn't even know them. When Brother Cartmel, who's out the head of the security now, went down the side of a mountain, I caught him. I just jumped, and I held on, and I caught him.
All right, that music means we are back in. Now, before I get to the last scene of our story, I want you guys, my listeners, to understand that when I say communists don't ever change, they don't change because it's the same religion. It's always been the same religion. And it always comes from the same dark place inside them. Okay. Congressman Leo Ryan, his journalist, the group of cult members who've begged to be taken with them. Turns out one of them is a spy. They take off for the airport. Jim Jones has said, no, let them go, leave them be. Only that dirty communist has armed guards waiting for them. They and the spy start gunning people down, including Leo Ryan. At this point, Jim Jones knows the gig is up. He gets up and gives this speech. You can hear it online, actually, on YouTube. It is really, really creepy. He gives a speech telling all the people of Jonestown, now that the congressman's been hurt, the mercenaries are going to come and torture and murder all of you. He tells the parents that it's time for all of them to die, and that he wants them to die in their own way. And he wants them to kill the children first. Such a sick bastard. You know that saying, don't drink the Kool-Aid? Was actually came out of this in reference to Jim Jones. A little tidbit that most people don't know, it was a Kool-Aid that they drank. It was cyanide, Valium, and grape flavoring mixed together. By the way, can you even imagine that the bad press that Kool-Aid got from that? Whoo! Dying from cyanide is not pretty at all. And it's not fast either. It is an unbelievably miserable way to go. They start drinking the mixture. Kids die first. Lots of them. So sad. I can't even imagine the nightmares that the first people to come upon the massacre had. Parents started drinking it. Adults start dying too. Those who didn't want to were forced to by gunpoint. Jim Jones, the pathetic coward that he was, didn't have the stones to drink the nastiness he made everyone else take. He shoots himself in the head. Piece of crap. In the end, 909 people died altogether in Jonestown. About 300 were children. Online, there are pics taken from a helicopter of all the dead bodies. It's gruesome. How in God's name can any human being who loves their kids dearly get so gosh dang deep into something that they would give their child a glass of cyanide? Their child. Give their own flesh and blood cyanide. How? How do you get to that place mentally? The hard part for us to swallow is it's not as difficult as you'd imagine. It's just about who you surround yourself with at all times. Here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. When I talk about the system, when I mention complete cultural Marxist control of every single American institution, the church, sports, media, Hollywood, corporations, the American government, education, parts of music industry, all of them. Here's the biggest danger we face today. When you own the entire system, the average person, not a mainstream media host, not the cackling hens on The View, and sadly, not even us. So we listen to conservative media and talk radio, etc. That's not average, unfortunately. But I'm talking an average, fairly non-political person. The ones who actually decide elections. Those people. How messed up is their worldview? And they have no real clue. That is the real danger. All they get are lies. Unless they seek the truth. I want you all to understand something. There have been numerous polls taken in the last 18 months asking both sides what the biggest issues were to them. On the right, it's all issues. Inflation, gas prices, the border, immigration, etc. The left, numbers 1 and 2 by far, white supremacy and climate change. Organized white supremacy has been all but shunned, all but shut down for decades. It's essentially gone. Yet it's number one for the leftists. Hang on. Folks, it's not enough just to vote on this coming Tuesday, August 2nd. We must vote for the right people, not these conservatives at election time only. No, we must vote for new right conservatives. A few key recommendations for U.S. Senate, vote Eric Schmidt. U.S. House District 7, vote Eric Burleson. State Senate District 30, vote Angela Romine over Lincoln Huff. I urge you to vote for these candidates on Tuesday, August the 2nd.
Laying down our life. We're not letting them take our life. We're laying down our life. Just taking their lives. We just want peace.
That was a clip from that last really creepy speech Jim Jones gave right before they drank the cyanide. So the American communists, they genuinely think they're the good guys and you're the Nazi. That's the danger. We're in a different time now. in America. It's different because the system has never had so much control. One voice, one ideology. And all the one voice is telling these people is, you're the enemy. You are. They have complete control of our society. This is what a cult leader inspiring 909 people to kill themselves sounds like.
Remember the Oliver woman said she come over and kill me if her sons wouldn't stop her. These are people, the peddlers of hate. All we're doing is laying down our life. We're not letting them take our life. We're laying down our life. We're taking their lives. We just want peace.
All I'd like to say is that my so-called parents is filled with so much hate. And treachery. I think you people out here should think about how your relatives was and be glad about that the children are being laid to rest. And all I like to say is I thank
you. And be glad the children are being laid to rest. I got that from YouTube. Now let's play that one Trump speech on YouTube. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. You mean there is not a Trump speech on YouTube? That is how big our problems are. We're not just taking on a bit of water. We've already hit the iceberg. And we're on our way to the bottom of the ocean. How are we supposed to deal with this when half the country hates the country? When half the country thinks you're a white supremacist? When even blacks and Hispanics are called white supremacists for saying something conservative or with common sense. The rot is very, very, very deep. How warped does a person's mind have to be to go that direction? Well, the parents of People's Temple were giving their kids a glass of cyanide. You heard that younger gentleman after Jim Jones. I think we just need to lay our children because my parents are mean to me. That's where we are. We're in a bad, bad place right now. We have to claw ourselves out somehow. Thank you so much for listening to this week's Musings on History. You can catch this and all other episodes at anchor.fm/pxpx on Apple and Google Podcasts and Spotify. And hit subscribe and leave me a review and a rating while you're there. This is the New Resistance Podcast. My name is Seth. Stay focused, stay engaged, never give it. Till next time, see ya!